Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. On the broadcast today, we're going to begin a new series of studies, which we are going to entitle Studies in Selected Psalms. And we are using the phrase Selected Psalms advisedly because there are 150 psalms in the Psalter, and we could not possibly consider them all. We will have to be selective. The book of Psalms was Israel's inspired hymnal. David wrote most of the Psalms, but a few other writers are included. Asaph, Israel's choirmaster, wrote perhaps a dozen of the Psalms. David addressed some of his Psalms, to the chief musician, Asaph, of course. As the hymns of our day are poetry set to music, so were the hymns of Israel. However, there's a marked difference between our poetry and Hebrew poetry of that day. Our poetry is achieved by the rhyming of similar sounds in rhythmic order, but Hebrew poetry is achieved by a repetition of ideas or a contrast of ideas. Rhythmic cadence is not preserved in Hebrew poetry, but the sentences in the Psalms are short so that the similar thoughts or contrasts are more easily grasped. The Psalms are a book of devotion, but there is so much in the way of prophecy in them. Peter, for instance, in Acts chapter 2, verse 30, refers to David as a prophet. And all the writings that David did are in the Psalms, and he quotes him. The Psalms are frequently quoted in the New Testament, probably more so than any other Old Testament book, unless perhaps it might be Isaiah. I wouldn't speak dogmatically, but I have not researched the subject. I will say this, that sometimes in the New Testament, the word Psalms per se is not mentioned, but it says David says. And then if you go back, as we have already said, what David said, he had to say in the Psalms. They were the only writings of David. So when they say David said, then, of course, we go back and we're quoting the Psalms. The psalm which we wish to consider on the broadcast today will be the first psalm in the entire Psalter, Psalm 1. And if you have your Bibles near at hand, we will invite you to read with us this wonderful psalm, only six verses, and we will speak and show some of the very things that we've been talking about the contrast of ideas and the similarity of ideas which makes up Hebrew poetry. It starts out with the beatitude. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. You see, here is some of the contrast that we were talking about, which makes up Hebrew poetry. Similarity and then contrast. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And you see in that last verse the contrast. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now, as we've already said, the Psalms start out with a beatitude. The beatitude is this: blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, these are negative things. We'll get to positive things later. But there can be blessing in not doing certain things, as well as there can be blessing in doing certain things. Now, I think that this is a fitting introduction to the Psalms. This first psalm, it's short, six verses, and it starts out with a beatitude. This is beautiful. The Sermon on the Mount starts out with the beatitudes. The blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The word blessed means supremely happy. Supremely happy. And supremely happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not need his principles, nor standeth in the way of sinners. He does not follow his practices, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He does not occupy his position. Now, if you like alliteration, here we have it. The man that is blessed, the man that is happy, supremely happy, does not follow the principles of the unsaved. He does not occupy, he does not follow their practices, and he does not occupy their position. He borrows nothing from them. He borrows his from the Lord. He does not borrow from the ungodly. The ungodly indeed do not have any time for God. And they would advise us that, you know, the life of a Christian is a rebuke to the ungodly, to the unsaved around us. They detect it immediately. Let me tell you, Christian friend, we are under surveillance. We're being watched all the time. And how important it is to just live a normal Christian life. And if you do, you will be a marked person. They will understand it immediately. And here, he is told that this blessed man, he is told that he does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not stand in the way of sinners. He does not follow their practices. He does not occupy the seat of the scornful. Oh, how the arrogance and the scorn of the ungodly. The only comfort they get, so to speak, is to find fault in a Christian. Let's don't give them the excuse. Let's don't furnish them with their material. Now, this is all negative, as we said just a moment ago. Now, here's the positive. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, that is the Scriptures, and in his delight doth he meditate day and night. This is the positive side of this blessed man. He finds his comfort in the Scriptures of the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord that reveals the Lord, of course. The Lord Jesus could say in the volume of the book, it is written of me, in Psalm 40. Perhaps that will be one of our Psalms, we shall see. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now this does not mean that he spends 24 hours a day meditating in the Bible. We've got to make a living. We've got responsibilities at home. But it does mean this, that in our quiet moments, we do meditate in the law of the Lord. We ruminate, as it's so to speak. The word meditate, I think, is so closely to the word ruminate. Have you ever noticed the studious look on a cow when she's chewing her cud? Indeed, she has a very solemn look. Now, the clean animals in the Scripture, incidentally, if you remember them from the book of Leviticus, they parted the hoof and they chewed the cud. You know, it's nice for Christians to chew the cud. I've heard that Christians are a good deal like the compass. When you carry it in the pocket, the needle goes every direction. But you bring it to rest, and the needle settles on north. It's that way in the Christian's life. You cannot be thinking about God all day long, especially if you're running a lathe. Tend to your business. But I'll tell you one thing. When we come to rest, like the needle in the compass, our thoughts should go to the Lord. Now, the person that does this is a happy person. Now, let's get some contrast, or rather some similarities here. In verse 3 we read, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, he's like a tree planted. This is not volunteer growth. We are planted where we are, Christian friend, in the economy of God, and he will use our talents to speak of him to others. Now, Jeremiah used a similar language in the 17th chapter of Jeremiah, verses 7 and 8. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters. And notice the tree is planted, that spreadeth out his roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and she shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Now God plants us by the rivers of water, and the rivers of water are the Holy Spirit of God, from which we draw our refreshment and our strength. John writes in his Gospel, chapter 7, verse 39, he's quoting the Lord Jesus, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scriptures hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, capital S, which they that believe on him should receive." Now the Spirit of God is the strength of the Christian life. And the water keeps us fresh. When the Spirit of God, when we're near the Spirit of God, and the roots go out underneath the ground, people don't understand what makes a Christian click. He is helped from the Spirit of God. We don't have to live the Spirit. We don't have to live the Christian life, rather, in our own strength. The Spirit of God gives us the refreshment and the strength. Now notice, then he brings forth fruit. Fruit for God, the Spirit. And even in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is even mentioned. It's enumerated. We'll not go into that chapter. Our time is almost up. But I do know this, that if the Spirit of God is the secret of fruitfulness in the Christian life. God has planted us, and he has placed us in such a way that we feed on the Spirit of God. And the winds of adversity just drive our roots deeper into the grace of God. But notice, please, the last. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Yes, here we have the contrast. The Christian is rooted. The ungodly are like the chaff. They are at the the mercy of the winds of circumstance. Here they are, blown about. They shall not stand in the judgment. Their case will not stand in the congregation of the righteous. But the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Oh, what a fitting psalm to start out the Psalter and to illustrate exactly Hebrew poetry in its sublime content. Our Father, today we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you bless this series of studies as we go through the book of Psalms. Point our hearts toward the Lord Jesus, we pray, in Christ's name, amen.